Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
The first reading, as well as in the Gospel for this weekend, are some of my most favorite biblical passages. Why? Because both get to the heart of the spiritual life. First, let's start in the first reading, from the Book of Wisdom. Listen now. I prayed, and prudence was given to me. I pleaded, and the spirit of wisdom came to me. I preferred her to scepter and throne, and deemed riches nothing in comparison with her, nor did I liken any priceless gem to her. Right now, King Solomon is praying to God, and he prefers wisdom over power, riches, and wealth. Why? Because Solomon wants to share this wisdom given to him by God for the benefit of all of humanity, which I think is a great example of stewardship. Taking the gifts that God has given each and every one of us and using them not for our own personal benefit, but instead for the benefit of others. And I think that's the bridge that links the first reading with the gospel. Here we have two individuals going to God in search of God to be a good disciple. In the first reading, Solomon goes to God in prayer. In the gospel, we have the young man approaching Jesus. Listen now how the gospel begins. Jesus set out on a journey. A man ran up, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Notice, at the very beginning of this gospel story, we do not know this young man's identity. We won't find out until the very end of the story. Now, this is strange because when we find out that this is a rich young man with many possessions, it really brings home the message that Jesus is trying to teach us. And yet, we are not privy to this knowledge of the man at the very beginning of the story. This is odd. Why? Well, St. John Chrysostom, when praying over this scripture passage from the gospel, he said the reason why we do not know this young man's identity from the very beginning of the story is because this young man represents each and every one of us. Notice the question that he asks Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, that's a question that we all ask God ourselves. That's a question that we are from time to time preoccupied with. You know, am I going to go to heaven? What must I do in order for me to receive eternal life? Notice further the small nuances or the details. It said the young man ran up to Jesus. He didn't walk to Jesus. He didn't saunter over to Jesus or just merely approach him. He ran to him, which means what? He's eager. He's eager to know exactly what he must do in order to inherit eternal life. Furthermore, he goes to Jesus with this question. Now, this young man, he doesn't go to a rabbi. He doesn't go to the temple in Jerusalem, the holiest of all holy places in Israel, and ask a priest, a temple priest. No, he goes to Jesus. He goes running to Jesus with this question. He knows that Jesus, and only Jesus, has the answer. We too are eager and excited about eternal life, going to heaven, sharing all of eternity with Jesus Christ, the Father, as well as the Holy Spirit. And furthermore, we also know that Jesus Christ is the source of all life, especially eternal life. That's why it is so essential for us to maintain and grow in our relationship and our life in Christ. Now, how does Jesus respond to this young man? He says, You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Jesus is identifying the second part of the Ten Commandments. Now, what we have to understand is the Ten Commandments are separated into two parts. The first three commandments have to deal with us in relationship with God. The second part of the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment through the tenth, deal with our relationship with one another. Therefore, what Jesus is trying to teach the young man as well as us is that if we truly desire eternal life, we have to remove from our life some things that are contrary to a life in Christ. I'll give you some examples. The first commandment that Jesus mentions, you shall not kill. Well, it's pretty much common sense. We know we shouldn't take life. But take it a step further. We should not kill, nor should we harm one another by our actions or by our words. Why? Because it's contrary to Christ, who is the source of all life, as well as the source of all compassion and charity towards others. The next commandment that Jesus identifies, you shall not commit adultery. We have to be faithful, not only to our commitment to God, but to all the commitments that we make to people in this world. You see, these are some of the most basic things that we cannot do in order for us to have good spiritual health. A great analogy would be for us to go to the doctor's office and we say to our doctor, what do I need to do to be healthy? Well, he'll say, stop smoking, stop eating junk food, stop engaging in a diet with high cholesterol and high saturated fat, stop sitting around all day, and instead go out and exercise. All these things we have to cut out of our life in order to be healthy. Now, we look at the doctor and say, you know, how dare you? How dare you tell me to do these things? Well, the doctor will then respond to us and say, hey, you do whatever you want to do, but if you want to be healthy, you have to cut these things out of your life. Well, the same thing holds true in the spiritual life. There are things possibly in our life that we have to cut out in order for us to be truly spiritually healthy. Now the young man responds to Jesus and he says, teacher, all these things I have observed from my youth. Well, this young man is doing exactly what he should be doing in the moral life. He's following the Ten Commandments. He's doing everything that God has asked us to do. Now this is a very good young man. Next in the gospel, it says, Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, you are lacking in one thing. Now Jesus, by looking and loving him, Jesus admires. He admires the sincerity and the integrity that this young man has to carefully observe the commandments. And yet, here is the big challenge. Jesus says to him, you are lacking in one thing. Go sell in what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Essentially what Jesus is saying to this young man and to us, if you want intimacy with God, if you want friendship with God, then let nothing at all come between us and God. Let nothing stand between us and God in our relationship with God, regardless of what it is, possessions, power, the ego. How does the young man respond to this challenge? It said, at the statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Herein lies the spiritual lesson for us this weekend, the lesson of detachment. Throughout our great spiritual tradition in our church, saints have written about this detachment. St. Ignatius of Loyola referred to it as the indifferentia, indifferent to the goods of this world. Each and every one of us has an infinite longing for God, because each and every one of us is made in the image and likeness of God. Nothing in this world can take the place of that longing or satisfy it. Only God can. What must we do? Attach that infinite longing for the divine to God. Then we'll always have purpose, meaning, fulfillment, and joy in life. And yet, what's the danger? When we replace that infinite longing for God with something else in this world, when we attach it to something other than God, that's when we have some serious spiritual problems. And see, that's what this young man has done. He has so many possessions that now he has linked that infinite longing for the divine with those possessions. And that's why he can't give them up. Those possessions now stand between him and God. And that's why he cannot accept the invitation for greater intimacy with Christ. What Jesus is trying to challenge this young man and now us is to change our hearts, move from a world-centered focus and now to a God-centered focus. Christ wants this man and now us to be mission-oriented, such that we're not preoccupied with the things of this world that could distract us or even prevent us from growing in our faith and our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our deepest hunger should always correspond to God and God alone. I think another way to look at this is the fact that the worldly goods that we have should not or ever define who we are. Now, don't get me wrong. The things of this world, our houses, our cars, our boats, TVs, computers, games, whatever they may be, there's nothing wrong with them. They're good. In fact, they're gifts from God, and they should be enjoyed. But the moment that they become the center of our life, that's when we have serious problems. And that's the problem of this rich young man and why he refused this invitation from Christ. The source of our identity must always be found in Christ and Christ alone. Therefore, we must take this lesson of detachment to heart and really allow it to sink deep within inside of ourself. We must exercise that spirit of detachment in our lives and allow nothing in this world to come between us and our relationship with Christ. A person that practices real detachment from worldly goods can honestly and genuinely say, "Lord, I don't care whether I'm rich or poor, as long as I'm able to serve you. Lord, I don't care if I live on that mansion on the top of the hill or live down here in this small tin shack. I don't care, as long as I'm able to serve you. Lord, I don't care if I'm old or I don't care if I'm young, as long as I'm able to serve you." And you see, that is the genuine attitude of detachment. And as long as we are able to practice that, then yes, we, unlike this rich young man, will be able to accept Jesus' invitation to grow into greater intimacy each and every day of our life. My friends, I strongly encourage you, take some time this week and read this weekend's gospel from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 17 through 27. This gives us a powerful spiritual lesson. We shouldn't allow nothing to come between us in our relationship with Christ. And in doing so, we will always be able to accept Jesus' invitation into greater intimacy with him. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.